It's the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every single episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
I'm Dan Hill.
Let's get this started!
The Whole Truth aired November 18th, 1992. Jenny, what'd you think?
Overall, not too impressed.
No?
How about you?
I liked it.
You did?
It's more Joe.
Well,
there's funny moments.
If you say so.
There's funny stuff.
So we open in Billy and Allison's apartment, and Billy walks in with a Hawaiian shirt, light jeans, and a blazer.
Yeah, and I guess we're supposed to be impressed by this?
Well, Allison surely is. She looks at him and says, "Wow, looking good."
Then she's like, what's the deal? And he's like, "I'm just going to Shooters."
So
I guess this is an upgrade because remember in one episode he was wearing like some checkered bullshit?
Yeah.
It's like some weird puffy jacket. So, and like,
it's your tropical substitute teacher look.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like just Matt on a regular day. So she's like, "Oh, okay, I get it. Cruising for babes."
And then she makes a remark about his aftershave and is like, "Whoa, that cologne or whatever you have on is a little much."
Right. But then what we find out is that Shooters is his second option. He leaves the apartment and then like covertly like picks up two wine glasses and a bottle and heads on upstairs to our new tenant.
Joe.
Yeah.
So he gingerly goes up the stairs, knocks on Joe's door. Joe's answers, and you can tell that she's not too pleased to see Billy standing there at her door, and she immediately notices that there's a weird smell in the air.
Right. And while this is happening, what do we hear?
Oh, God. Like, this lounge lizard crazy music that's like, dee 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 rah rah dee 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 dee.
Does it remind you of anything?
No.
Because I have a theory about this.
Tell it.
Well, this show was up against Seinfeld. And it's so reminiscent of like that hard bass in Seinfeld, like ba-doo, ba-doo, doo, 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 dan, 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 dan,
dan, dan, dan, dan, dan. That is a very astute observation.
Yeah.
I would have never made those connections, but it's kind of reminiscent of that.
They're ripping off Seinfeld, man.
Maybe they are. They're trying to appeal to a wider audience.
Yeah, like, hey, guys, we got it over here, too. So that would make Billy Kramer.
I am, like, delirious over here tonight.
Yeah, it's very late, guys. This might be our latest start
time. It really might. Joe's like, "Look, I was really planning on doing nothing this evening." And Billy's like, "Well, let's do nothing together." And Joe's like, "Thanks, but no thanks."
And have you noticed that Joe, this is in the script. She calls
him Bill.
She calls everybody different names.
Yeah. Because
she doesn't call Michael either. She calls him Mike.
Does she call Allison Al?
Yeah.
She does?
I think she did. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's like Joe's thing. She'll call you what she wants.
Yeah. She calls you what she wants to call you.
I'll call you what I want, Bill. No thanks, Bill. Hit the road.
And you know, I could never imagine Billy being a Bill.
No.
You know?
Yeah, because he's a little boy.
Yeah, he's Billy.
He's a little kid.
Yeah, okay. So we go to Shooters. Billy yes. does make it there that evening, and he meets up with Jake. And Billy is recounting what happened when he tried to get Joe to hang out with him. And Jake pretty much rags on him and is like, oh, let's do nothing together. That's the lamest pickup line I've ever heard. But you know what? Your loss is my gain.
Right. Yeah, they're both just kind of palling around like it's a little competition.
And to hit it home, too, Jake does make a comment about Billy's aftershave as yeah. well.
Which I can only imagine smells like Ugh. Axe body spray.
Or worse.
So now, where do we go? Jane's?
Jane and Michael's, and they're necking in bed.
God damn it, you guys. They are always at it, and it's always so late. And, like, Jane gets this phone call from someone in the middle of the night that says that her work has been sold.
Middle of the night. And they say, you've got to come in the next day to pick up your personal effects. And you don't have a job any longer.
Right.
Sorry about your luck.
So Michael like wakes up and is like, what's this about?
I love your Michael impression.
Right, guys, these are going to get better as we go. But he's just like, hey, Jane, can you get the phone? What's going on here? And she's like, yeah, got to go get my check. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
So it's the next day, and Billy is in the kitchen, and he's looking for Tylenol or Advil, some kind of pain reliever, and we assume that he has a hangover, but right. when Allison comes in and asks about it, he says, no, he actually had a toothache.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, was that what all that banging around in your room was about? Like, what is Billy doing? Like, oh, God!
I thought that too. Like, what could he be doing in his room with a toothache?
Just banging around, hitting stuff. My tooth! And he's like, these things go away.
Yeah.
Or is that later?
No, he's like, these things come and go. And Allison is like,
no, they don't,
Billy,
bro.
You really need to make an appointment with my dentist, Dr. Estrin. He's the best in LA. He'll take care of you. So Billy's a little resistant at first, but he does agree to go see the doctor. So we go to Jo, and she is taking photos of Jake's bike, which, of course, is right next to the pool.
Parked by the pool.
Because every episode, Jake has to work on his bike by the pool.
Yeah, Mr. K is not having that. And I don't know how he keeps getting away with it, but it is parked damn near in the pool.
So Joe is like laying under the bike, trying to get some like really cool artsy shots of right. like the pipes and the inner workings of the motor.
Some lines and shadows and whatever photographers look for. Yeah. And Jake sort of like, he walks up and he sees this as, of course, an opportunity to make some money. And he's like, every shot's $2.
He was joking.
Yeah.
And so they have a little playful banter, and he invites her to go on a joyride with him.
But he uses the same corny lines as Billy.
Oh, because he's like an inside joke with Joe to make fun of Billy to say, you want to do nothing together? Because right. she says something like, oh, I'm really planning on doing nothing today.
Right, because she's using the same line on both of them.
But it works.
Right.
So they're out on the open road. They're all over. It looks like Santa Clarita.
Yeah, and this is boring because how many times have we seen Jake and Joe look over cliffs? Like 4 times.
So they again go to some lookout point on a cliff, and they're kind of chatting a little bit. And Jake says that he likes to be alone.
Right. It's just a lot more diving into who Joe is. And she offers really little there.
Yeah, to say that she was alone for a lot of her childhood. And they have a lot in common in that regard.
Right. So he's like, come on, let me take you up the road. And she's like, I got to go to this job opportunity. And he's like, all right, I'll take you. So then we're whisked away to Matt and his lawyer, who is, as I said in the last episode or episode before that, played by the same chick who plays April O'Neil in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And she's like, she's still chomping at the bit to like get everything out of this court case. And she fires off to Matt that the halfway house, the boys' home, is offering Matt his job back if he drops the charges.
But they will admit to no wrongdoing, but they will take him back.
Right.
And Matt almost wants to take this offer. He says, "Man, I miss Kenny and Tiny D."
Tiny D.
Gosh, I miss that guy.
That's my boy. And he says, "The burger stand's getting really old."
So he rejects the offer because his lawyer's like, "We could get more money out of this. I mean, we really don't win anything here. They just give you your job back. And this is a very clear-cut case of discrimination."
Right. And I don't know. If I was in Matt's shoes, I guess that I would not take that either, because it doesn't seem like he didn't get into it just for the job back at first, you know?
Yeah, he wanted them to admit wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And make it so people aren't fired on the basis of their any kind of, you know, sexual orientation or whatever. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we go to Jane's old work, which has completely been revamped in like a night, by none other than Kay Beacon, who what we see here is like Miss Fashion, like, oh, yeah. Snob.
She's a big time designer.
Right. She's played by Sydney Walsh, who's best known for her work in Point Break, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 as Carrie, and Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah, Laurie. So Kay approaches Jane while she's gathering up her personal things and is kind of like starts making small talk with her. And Jane is immediately enamored because she recognizes who Kay is. And she starts to say that she's a designer herself, and she designs all of her dresses, and she points to the dress that she's wearing. And Kay's like, what a great neckline, one that I created. I see that you've ripped off all of my designs.
Right, and Jane's like, no, I did this. This is my work, my neck, my design. And she's like, well, it's a knockoff of a knockoff, but it's still good.
And really, it's the sincerest form of flattery, so I'll take it.
Yeah, so Jane's first impression is not impressed, and same with Kay, but like Kay still offers to like have her come in.
Yeah, so Kay's like, why don't you come by my office tomorrow and we can talk?
Right.
It's like, why? You met this woman for a second and she said that she made a dress and you're like, I'm going to offer you a job.
Yeah, you don't seem too high on the totem pole if you're
this
taking...
This is how it works in Melrose Place, though.
I guess so.
This is how it works.
And now, Joe goes to this, like, high-end jewelry store.
Well, Jake... She tells Jake that she has to go on a job interview. And Jake drops her off of his motorcycle and he offers to take her back to Melrose Place after the job interview, and she's like, you know what? I got it from here. I had a really nice time with you, but I've got to go to my job interview now. So we expect that she's going to walk into an office and talk about her photography, but instead,
right,
she walks into a pawn shop with a very...
It's like a high-end pawn shop.
Yes, because we have Mr.
McGrubles.
Very sophisticated Englishman behind the counter looking at all of the jewels and appraising them.
Right. So she says she wants like 1200 for it or 12,000. He's like, I'll give you 7,000. and then she's like, wow, that's really depreciated. And he's like, well, we're in a recession. She's like, all right, fine, I'll take it. And he's like, great, give me your ID. We'll get the paperwork all sorted out. And she's like, ooh, yeah, about that. Don't have it.
I left my ID in my friend's car. And he said, I'm sorry, no ID, no sale. So she walks out the front door, and who is waiting for her?
Stalker-ass Jake.
Yeah, so Jake's just sitting there, and she's like, excuse me, what are you doing here? Did you follow me?
Yeah, and then uncharacteristic of Jake here. I usually don't have a problem with anything Jake does, but in this scene, I'm not with you, homie. He was like, yeah, dropped you off, thought you were going to a job interview, and you're here. And then she's like, yeah, you're crazy. And he's like, okay, hop on the bike, I'll take you home. He's like, what? No. I completely agree with Joe here.
Yeah, she's like, I'll find my own way, don't follow me. And I'm with you on this too. Like, you just met this woman. She does not have to answer to you. She can do whatever the hell she wants. Yeah, leave her alone.
You're like, the bike ride you took her on interfered with her regular plans of doing this. So like, just kind of back off, bro. You look too needy, man.
Okay. We get it.
Come on, Jake.
So we're back at Jane and Michael's apartment, and Jane already has a job with Kay Beacon.
She's cheersing Michael, like, I'm going to be the junior design associate.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, hold on. Kay told you to just come in tomorrow. Let's hold the boat. Hold the boat and see what this is about. You all right? Jane, just cool your jets. You are not the junior design associate yet. Because that's impossible.
So, I can't do this right now.
Oh, man. Was that a snort? That was
a snort. Stop. Please take this out. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, they're cheersing. They're like, yay, this is to your new career. And then we go to Joe's bathroom where Allison and Joe are eating pizza.
Just chowing down on pizza.
And they're like, who would have thought goat cheese and pineapple pizza would be the shit?
Me. That sounds horrible. Like that, like, you really can't mess up pizza a lot, but that's how you do it. With those ingredients.
So they're turning Joe's bathroom into a dark room and they're painting the wall space black.
Right. And let it be known, like, they're not taking the tile off. They're not, there's no like covers or anything. They're just straight up rolling black paint across everything.
They're going for it.
Yeah. Like, you should pop the tiles off, like, and then
or put tape over the tiles.
Yeah, they're just going for it. So that's happening.
Yeah, and Allison is like, so how's the job hunt going? And Joe's like, really not that great. And Allison's like, yeah, glamour jobs are really hard.
Yeah, but like, Allison, you kind of do a glamour job sometimes. Like, let's be honest, you're a receptionist, but every other episode, you're asked to step in and make like very heavy design type.
What's the word? Doing copywriting for big ads.
Right, but she's also pitching like ideas for commercials and spots. That's pretty artistic.
I'd say so too. But then we learn a little bit more about Jo when she says that she learned everything she knows about photography from her mother. Mm-hmm. And her mom would take her out and they would go and just take photos of everything, and that she had a great eye. And she says, we were really close. And then Allison is pretty oblivious to that and says, oh, she's still back east? And Joe just quickly says, yes, yes, she's back east.
Yeah, probably in the ground.
Joe is up at her apartment and Michael is skimming the pool.
Michael's skimming that pool, hard at work. Got to keep Mr. K happy. And he's upset. He hears about this black paint going down and he's not into it.
And Joe did not get permission to paint the bathroom black.
Mm-mm.
And it just so happens at that very moment, a locksmith is leaving Joe's apartment and she had the locks changed without asking anybody either.
Yeah. And then Michael sees that and he's like, excuse me. Who are you? It's getting
so good.
It's getting good.
It's so good.
And then she's like, oh, I'm the locksmith. He's like, I'm going to need a key. For that?
So he goes up to Joe's apartment and is like, Joe, look, you need to get permission before you paint your bathroom black. And I'm going to need a key because it's our policy to keep keys for all of the units. And Joe's like, well, it's my policy not to give you a key.
Yeah. And then I'm like, Joe, you have never, ever rented an apartment anywhere.
Well, we find out that she hasn't, actually.
Oh, so, yeah, true.
I mean, that is true. But we kind of sense that Joe and Michael are not getting off on the right foot.
No. You don't cross Michael, all right? And she calls him Mike.
Calls him Mike.
She's like, thanks, Mike. Can I shut my door now? And he's like, okay, but I need a key or else you don't live here. And then, but did you notice the door? There's no deadbolt.
I didn't notice that.
There's no deadbolt. That is just a little handle. You kick that thing in easy.
Well, we go over to Jane's new place of work, and she is looking at a garment, and Kay Beacon herself, the big-time designer, comes over and asks Jane what she thinks of the design. And Jane says, well, I'm just inspecting this, but this is what I did at my last position, so I pretty much know what I'm doing.
Right.
And Kay's like, well, what do you say? Does this garment pass or fail your inspection? And she says, it passes. And Kay is like, no, it doesn't. That pleat is crooked on the right side. This would never go through. Everything needs to be perfect. And Jane outwardly is like scowling at her. And I'm thinking, this is your first day on the job and your boss is kind of giving you a test.
Yeah.
And instead of just taking the note and implementing that in what you're doing further in your work, you're going to like fight her on it.
Well, when you're the junior design associate.
Yeah.
You know, you have a higher, you're a higher up in that company already. And by the way, Kay Beacon sucks. I don't like Kay Beacon.
She's kind of weird.
I'm not into her. I'm not feeling it.
And basically, Kay's like, you probably think that I'm the lucky ones, that I just got a lucky break. Well, honey, I'm not just lucky. I know what I'm doing. And if you play your cards right, you might get lucky too. And you know what? When you're done, go look at my line in the back from last year and pick anything you want to take home with you.
Yeah, what is that supposed to mean?
It was like,
exit through the gift shop?
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. I hope that this actor is just overacting on this, like not knowing that they were going to be in more episodes.
Are they in more episodes?
I don't know. I at this point, I hope not, but if she's in later ones, I hope that Kay kind of calms down.
Okay, so we're back at the Bikini Burger joint where right. Matt is working while he's not employed over at the halfway house.
Right, and he's wheeling and dealing, spinning, carrying a tray how you shouldn't as a server.
I noticed that too. I was like, who carries a tray like that?
Yeah, he's like thumbing it. And he has all the weight on one side and the ketchup bottle on the side facing the freaking customer.
So he goes to deliver this plate of a burger to the customer and basically drops the tomato on the customer's lap.
Yeah, this has to be one take because he just wings the tomato.
Yeah, this customer has the weirdest reaction. Like, it's like, ah! And like, gets up and starts jumping around.
Right. We find out that this guy knows Matt. His name is Pete Stroller. Played by Jeremy Davies. He's had a really, really good career. 33 episodes on Lost. Saving Private Ryan. He was Private Upham. Hannibal, the TV show. And he plays Jesus in American Gods. So he's in those. And basically, Matt is like, oh my God, I can't believe it's you. What are you doing? And he's like, yeah, can you believe it? I got a sales job. And
I got off the crack, but now I'm doing a sales job.
Right. And he has the crazy laugh.
And then Matt's like, well, now I know it's you because that laugh drove me crazy.
Yeah, and there's this like throwaway line of when he got out of Stockholm. And I'm like, is that jail? I think he's like done time.
Well, Folsom is like the big jail in California.
Yeah.
Stockholm is a city in Sweden, or it's like Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, no, not Stockholm. Stockton.
Oh, Stockton is a place in California.
Yeah, and Stockton's the town in Sons of Anarchy too.
Oh, well, there could be a jail there.
Yeah, so maybe there's a jail up in Stockton, but that's what I thought they were insinuating. So like, Matt has this crap burger job, and he's like, cookie cutter, and here this like crackhead kid from a boy's home has a better job than Matt.
Well, I don't think that Matt takes it that way. It's more like he gets to see the fruits of his labor right. that he helped this kid. And the kid even says, Matt, you know, you really helped me out. Without you, I don't know where I'd be. Thank you so much. And it really solidifies to Matt that the work that he's doing at the halfway house is meaningful and is really impacting people's lives.
Yeah. And he's like, when I was driving down the boulevard, and Matt's like, wait, what? You were driving down the boulevard? He's like, no, I will never do crack again. That life is dead. I was like, damn, this dude was really on it. Hardcore.
Okay, so we're back at Melrose Place, and Joe approaches Jake and apologizes for what happened in that morning and says, you know, I was trying to sell a bracelet at the pawn shop, but I don't have an ID because, of course, in New York, nobody drives, and you have to have an ID to sell jewelry at a pawn shop. So can you go in and sell this bracelet for me?
Right. And, of course, Jake, being the awesome, kind person that he is, says, okay.
So Jake goes to the pawn shop. He's there. He's just about to make the sale. And the guy inspecting the bracelet says, well, who's Beth? And Jake is taken aback because he doesn't know a Beth. And he says, you know, I don't know.
Who's Beth? I don't know Beth.
And the guy behind the counter is like, well, you're selling this bracelet and you said it's yours, but you don't know who Beth is. And Jake says, you know, I'm really selling it for a friend. And then the guy behind the counter is like, look, I don't want to get mixed up in this. We can't accept anything stolen. If this isn't yours, you're not authorized to sell it. We don't want it.
Which surprises me, as Jake being portrayed as like the bad boy.
Street smart.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
That. Like,
the guy asks you who Beth is, you make something up. And then you just sell the damn bracelet. Like, I'm disappointed in Jake.
I can tell.
Listening, like you know, talking this out, I'm disappointed in you, Jake.
You're not very happy with him.
You've let me down this episode.
So Jake goes outside where Joe is waiting and says, hey, who's Beth? And Joe's like, what? Why would you ask me that? And he said, the guy wouldn't sell me the bracelet, or the guy wouldn't buy the bracelet because I didn't know who Beth was. Who is Beth? And she's like, you know, I don't need to answer to you. I don't, like, stop asking me these questions. And he's like, look, I hate being used. I hate being lied to. Is this bracelet stolen? And she's like, no, Jake, it's not stolen. It's my bracelet. And then he's like, okay, whatever. You're lying to me. And he just gets on his bike, drives away, mm-hmm. and leaves Joe standing there crying.
On freaking Ocean?
It's Ocean Avenue, right at Palisades Park, overlooking Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah. And, I mean, for them living at Melrose Place in Hollywood, that they made a trip to a
yeah, they did.
Faraway pawn shop.
So, we're back at Shooters, and Billy and Jake are sharing a beer, and it's very reminiscent of the earlier scene where they're talking about Joe, and Jake is kind of filling Billy in with his experiences with her and just saying that, you know, she's not a good person and she's a liar.
Don't you trust her. And Billy's like, okay, I won't. Because Billy's a sheep.
So it's later that night and Jane and Michael are having dinner at home. They're having some Chinese food sitting around their coffee table. And Jane is going on and on about her new boss, Kay Beacon. Kay is the most arrogant, manipulative woman. I can't tell if she likes me or hates me.
Right. And then what's Michael do?
Okay, can we send Kay Beacon home, please? She's been with us this whole dinner.
Michael is a straight up gangster, man. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shut the fuck up, will you? I've had it up to here with this. And, dude, Michael, doesn't Michael bring home work a lot?
All the time.
Yeah, like, he's always like, I'm so stressed out from work. Blah, blah, blah. I gotta work. Blah,
and
blah,
then,
blah.
Like, can we...
His freaking co-workers are beating up people.
Hey, let's remember last episode. Yeah. When Jane was roped into planning this whole dinner and then got in the middle of this, like, volatile relationship where a lot of domestic abuse was going on.
That could have been, like, 3 days ago. And they're patching up this woman at the dinner table that they're eating at.
Well... Michael changes the subject and starts kissing Jane and trying to...
Can we just have sex, please?
And Jane goes, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
And goes to the bathroom, opens the medicine cabinet, and gets out what I think is a diaphragm.
Or a sponge, maybe.
Yeah, which is like the
same
thing.
Is that the same thing? Yeah. I don't even know. I just knew it was some sort of contraception.
For women.
Yeah.
And... Michael walks in and is like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, you know, I want to be safe. And he's like, I thought we agreed that we were going to try to have another baby. And she was like, look, like, I'm not ready for that now. Not just yet. And then Michael's like, all right, I'm going to bed.
Going to bed. This is done. No babies. No sexy time. Now, it's the next day, and we get a knock on the door of Jake's house, and it's the police. And of course, one would think, great, Jake has done something terribly wrong, and he's going to go to jail again. But uh-uh, they're like, you got a motorcycle? He's like, yeah. And he's like, well, and then Joe is in handcuffs with the cops because she stole his freaking bike.
She stole his bike, and he's like, I have never seen that woman before in my life, officer. And she's like, look, he said I could borrow it. And they're like, did you say that she could borrow it? And he finally says, yeah, I told her she could borrow it. And of course, he's lying. He never said that she could borrow it. And the cop promptly writes him a ticket and is like, well, that's an unlicensed driver driving a bike and you like let... Is this legal?
I don't think so. I think this was made up specifically for this episode.
I think it was made up too.
Because if someone steals your bike and drives it without a license, yeah, that's on them. Unless they're like your child.
So.
Then it's some kind of like endangerment, you know?
So the police release Joe into Jake's apartment and Joe says, you know, you were so right. I needed to clear my head. I needed to feel the wind in my hair. And Jake says the best line, next time, use a fan.
Right. And she would have never been released because she has no form of identification.
Yeah. So Joe is trying to make things right. I want things to be right between us. I'm gonna prove it to you by splitting the cost of that ticket with you.
Yeah, what the hell? And Jake's like, oh, great, thanks. And did you notice what he keeps in the fridge?
What?
Another downer for you, Jake. Another notch down of Dan's list of awesome people on Melrose Place. He keeps peanut butter in the fridge.
What?
Yeah, I found that's weird.
Yeah, peanut butter doesn't go in the fridge.
Guys, you don't keep peanut butter in the fridge. You just don't.
No.
Sorry, Jake.
So Jake is like, look, you're going to take me out to dinner tonight, and you're going to make it up to me that way.
Right. And again, we have dinner being used.
As like leverage.
As, yeah. Like we're gonna have a convert contest, and loser gets dinner. Loser goes on a date. And here's some tickets. All you need is tickets or dinner.
Tickets or dinner. So we're back at the attorney's office, and Matt barges into his attorney, Sarah's office, and is like, look, I've been waiting out in the lobby. I've got to get to my next shift over at Bikini Burger. What's going on? And his attorney is like, Matt, I have some great news for you. The halfway house is going to offer you $10,000 plus your job back.
And Matt's like,
we won!
We won! We won!
Yes! And she's like, wait, 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 wait. No, no, no. I mean, this is a great offer, but I really think we could get like $100,000 out of them.
Right.
This is a clear-cut case of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go after them. We need to teach them a lesson. And Matt's like, you know what? This kid came by the Burger Shack the other day, and I really saw the impact that I made in his life. And, you know, I can't help kids by being in a court battle for the next year. I'm going to take it. We're going to take that $10,000, and I'm going to get my job back.
And would you want to work for the same company that you took 10 grand from? You don't think there'd be a little animosity there?
Absolutely. I would never go back and work for them.
No.
And, I mean, in the beginning, a couple episodes ago, Matt wanted, was on a crusade to save LGBT people from being discriminated against.
Yeah.
And now he's thinking very, like, his own case, you know?
That kid really showed him what he can do at the halfway house. What we saw he could do was incite a riot.
I don't know. If I was mad, I would try to get as much money as I could and then start my own halfway house.
Yeah.
And run it the way that I would want to.
Come on, SA. You don't hate me. Who do you hate? Your parents? I'll kill you, man. I'll kill you, man.
That is the way that handles these problems.
You blink white jackass.
Dad, I can't. I'm having a hard time getting through this one. Stop.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So now we're cutting over to Billy lying on the couch. He's delirious.
Is he wearing just boxers, by the way?
Of course he is. Of course he is.
When Allison walks in and he's laying on the couch, his hand is in a very suspect place.
Because, man, Billy, like, he's always in some inappropriate stuff. And he always sleeps in his boxers. I guess, I don't know, man. Again, Twitter, is Billy hot? Do you guys like Billy? Because to me, he just looks like a kid.
So, Billy is recovering from the, I guess, oral surgery that he had done earlier that day. And
yeah, it's almost as if he took heroin. Because he is, like, on his ass, like, messed up.
And he's like, Allison, go get me a blanket. Turn on the TV for me. Go do all this stuff for me.
Standard puppy dog routine with Seinfeld music.
They keep bringing back that music.
He's Kramer. He's your Kramer.
So it's later that night. Jake and Joe have gone out to dinner, and they seem kind of drunk.
Yeah.
Like his.
Oh yeah. Jake been known.
Like, especially Jake.
He been known. Remember, he went straight from the bar to Kelly's house? And then they went on a ride, and she's like, I have to be home by midnight. Jake, you gotta really cool it. We're gonna, in an episode or two down the road, or like season, I'm calling it, you get a DUI. Because you are too loose with it.
And so they're outside of the guys. They didn't go to Shooters this time.
Mm-mm.
They went to a new spot.
Well, they tried to.
Where the sleaze and the stars hang out under one roof.
Right. And then, like, there's some big to-do about, like, sneaking the camera
in.
I didn't get that at all.
Joe was like, I'm coming here for my work. I'm going to take pictures of people in this bar. And, like, they're on your face.
Yeah, dude. I didn't get it.
And the funny thing is, right outside of this establishment, there's a big sign that says, no drugs, no cameras.
Yeah, what? Those are the two things?
Those two things are not allowed. So she's like, I'm going to hide the camera and go in with it.
And see, first of all, like, let's break this down. So, like, you have to have a problem, like, have a series of, like, enough problems to warrant making a sign to prohibit these two things. So this place has a huge problem with drugs and cameras, where most places have, like, a shirt and shoes policy. So they don't care about the shirt and shoes. which is normal for like a restaurant, bar. They care about cameras and drugs.
Okay, so Joe is trying to go in, but Jake is getting all handsy with her and is like trying to like
real rapey.
Hold her and like
very
be
rapey.
Like, hey.
Yeah, he's like lying to her. He's like, hey, look, I think that's Madonna.
Yeah.
Come on, let's make out.
And like,
fuck Jake.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, he's like wasted right now, the way that he's acting.
She's changing you, man. She's changed. What's happened, Jake?
Well, while they're in a very awkward embrace, this man walks up and is like, hey, Beth, how are ya? To Joe.
And Joe's like, wrong lady. And then, when does that work? Like, if you saw one of your friends and they were like, oh, hey, what's up, Jenny? And you said, wrong lady. Of course it would persist.
Yeah, and he did. And he was like, wait, when did you get to L.A.? Like, how long have you been here? And then...
He's like, I'm telling you, wrong lady.
And then Jake is like, you heard her, man. Wrong lady. And the guy's like, okay, I gotcha. And pretends like he's gonna walk away, but turns around and roundhouse decks Jake in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake is totally unfazed. Right. He's like made of steel. He turns around and beats the crap out of this guy.
You don't mess with Jake.
The guy lands on the ground. He's like totally passed out in the street. And then Jake's looking around and Joe has run away. She's nowhere to be found. And this man is just laying unconscious in the street. And
Jake
Jake's
knocked
like,
him out.
Okay, time to go home.
That'll teach him, right? That'll teach him.
Okay, so weirdest scene of the entire episode. We go back to Billy and Allison's house. Billy is still on the couch. He is clutching a pillow and just going, Allison, Allison, Allison. And then we get the dream sequence. And he dreams that Allison comes over in a sexy nightie and is like, oh, Billy, how can I help you? And he's like, Allison, I need you to nurse me back to health. And then they start making out like crazy.
Mm.
And it goes back to Billy laying on the couch, humping a pillow. Guys, he's legit humping a pillow like, Allison, Allison. And then Allison is watching this happen.
Guys, I didn't like this one bit. Was not into it. It was not hot.
It's so bad.
Was the Seinfeld music going while this was happening? Because it should have been. Allison. Like, yo, this is the grossest shit. This is worse than... what's his name? Keith.
Yeah.
This is worse. This is the worst. This is worse than Paul. How gross he was with his teeth and his jeans. This, by far, grossest scene ever.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, so we leave them, and Jake goes to Joe's house, knocks on the door, and
but,
he's like...
Oh, sorry.
What?
I guess this is a special moment. This is their first kiss ever.
Well, it was
on screen.
A dream.
Still, dream or not, first kiss, nonetheless.
Okay, so Jake goes up to Joe's house and asks where she went and why did that guy call her Beth? And Joe is pretty much like, you know what, Jake, leave me alone. I don't know why I have to answer to you guys. Like, you all are asking me questions.
Right.
And Jake is like, look, I know what it is. I know you're Beth. I just want to hear you say it.
And she's like, I don't like fights. And I wish he was like, well, then you don't like Jake. Because Jake be fighting.
So basically Joe's like, leave me alone, and slams the door in his face.
Right. Then we cut to Jane's apartment. She's like checking her teeth in the toaster when they clearly have a mirror.
Yeah. So Jane is checking her reflection in the shiny stainless steel of the toaster. And Michael comes in and is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's so frazzled by the job. I can't help but think, like, this is a complete role reversal of, like, Jane the busy worker, Michael the homebody. Like, is Michael still a doctor? Because He hasn't been going to work.
Good question. And please bear in mind, too, that she only went to one day of work.
Yeah.
This is day two.
Right. Of what's her title? Social director of...
Junior design associate.
Yeah.
And so, and one thing, too, I wanted to point out, anytime Josie Bisset says the word design, she always says, design. I'm a designer. I have all my designs. I design everything.
Well, when we get her on the show, we're down the road, we're going to get
Josie,
these people.
You're coming on.
Josie, we need you on. You got to defend yourself. Why the designs?
Anyway, so Jane is again lamenting about how she is so fed up with her rude, vain, and opinionated boss. And then Michael delivers a great line. I believe the term is bitch.
God bless you, Mike. Like, someone has to take the masculinity of the show title.
Yeah, and Jane's like, you know, she's just good. She's so good. And I want to prove to her that I'm that good, too.
But she's not that good. She's just mean. She's just an angry lady.
Oh, well, she's very successful.
Right. So now we cut to Allison and Billy's apartment. Allison wants answers to this wet dream that Billy had.
I know! She's like, hey, Billy, you sleep okay?
Right.
Here's a question. If you witness a horribly embarrassing situation where a platonic roommate is obviously having a sex dream about you, why would you press them for more information?
Right. And then Billy has to, like, lie, and he's like, oh, I was saving you from a T-Rex.
A dinosaur. He was like, well, the dream was about me and you. We were in the apartment. It was late. We were alone. And then a T-Rex comes in and picks you up. And I had to try to fight him off. And then Billy says, do you dream about me? And Allison gets all coy and is like,
mm-hmm.
Maybe I do.
And they're real close. Real close. She's on the counter. He's like right in her face. It's like, is it going to happen now?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, then we go to Matt walking around in the courtyard of Melrose Place. And this is the only time that Rhonda is featured in this episode.
Rhonda sighting.
Yeah, they're getting very few and far between, and
poor girl can't catch a break.
Yeah, and Matt is telling her that they are going to settle with the halfway house, and he's going to make $10,000. And Rhonda's like, "Wow, well, what are you going to do with the money? Are you going to put it in a mutual fund? Are you going to try to grow it? Do you want to invest it somewhere? Are you going to blow it on a car?"
Nope, legal aid fund.
Legal aid fund for discrimination cases.
Right. And how much was his case?
$5,000, right?
Yeah. So you got two. You got two, Matt. So you're going to help two people with that.
And cool. That's just the upfront costs.
Right. Now we're back over to Jane's work. And how many times can Kay Beacon say Kay Beacon? Jesus, she's obsessed with herself.
Well, that's exactly what Jane says after Kay asks her, what would you do to this design to make it better? And Jane is like, well, the buttons are obviously too small, so I'd make them bigger and I would add a belt to the skirt. And then Kay finds all these holes in that design and is like, and
the buttons are too heavy, they'll make it sag.
Yeah. And then Jane basically is like, you're just an egomaniacal bitch. And if I wanted to be like you, I probably shouldn't be working here anymore.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, give it to her. Kay Beacon's been nothing but a punk to you the whole episode. And then Kay's like, let me talk to you in my office. And then they start chatting. She's like, I like you, Jane. You're a good worker. She's just giving her shit like she's pledging or something.
I don't know. And she's like, if you can last a week, you can last two. Right. You got a lot of promise, kid. And it's like, this is day two.
Right. And then the best thing in the episode happens. Michael shows up with a picnic basket and she's like, somebody sign for it.
And he's like, oh, hi, I'm just bringing lunch for my wife. And Kay's like, guys, There's a rooftop upstairs. Why don't you go have lunch up there?
Yeah, so they have bring your husband to work day picnic on the roof.
And basically calling your boss an egomaniacal bitch in the middle of the entire workplace in front of everybody is rewarded with a private picnic on the rooftop.
Right. This is, it's outlandish even for Melrose Place. So now we go to Joe's apartment. We're in the dark room. Jake storms in, tells Joe that she doesn't care. He doesn't care about her lives. He doesn't care about what she's been through. He doesn't care about the past. He only cares about her.
That she is dying and desperate to have somebody care about her. And that is what he's going to do because she makes him feel good.
Right.
And he just wants her to trust him.
And I know that this show, we got to move fast. Relationships build and end on a daily basis. But they've had one bike ride and dinner. And then he kicks somebody's ass outside of a bar.
And she is opening up. So we find that Joe's mom died at the age of, she was 7 when her mom died. Her dad remarried pretty quickly. And then she met her husband in college. They got married. She dropped out of college and started living the life of a socialite. And mm-hmm. she just felt herself slipping away. And she decided to leave one night. No note, no notice, just gone.
Right. And then, is this where she divulges that her name is Joe Beth?
It is. So, her mother only used to call her Joe, and after her mother died, she didn't want anybody else calling her Joe.
Joe Beth.
So, she went by Beth after that. And so, that's why the bracelet was inscribed to Beth, because Beth is her.
She's going by
and
Beth.
And now that she's starting a new life for herself, she realizes that she's been Joe all along.
Right. Okay. I get it now. I was like, wait, so your name is Joe Beth, people were calling you Joe Beth, and now you dropped the Beth.
Right.
I see.
So, okay. After that bombshell has been dropped, Joe and Jake look at one another, and they just start making out.
Yep, and I'm like, yes, Jake's got his girl.
Well, that's the end of the episode, guys.
That's the ep, so let's recap.
Okay.
We have Joe Beth.
We find out her identity. Billy gets his tooth fixed and has a sex dream about Allison.
And Matt's case is closed. He's 10 grand richer.
Jane works for a big-time designer. And Michael and Jane decide to put off having a baby.
90s moments?
90s moments for me. There was a moment in the episode where Billy was likening his experience at the dentist as being no more painful than a New Kids on the Block concert.
I missed that, but that's great.
But you got the next one.
That's freaking great. Oh, yeah. Billy asks Allison to run to the video store.
To go get some videos.
Pick him up some tapes.
And of course, I think the reference to, hey, look over there, it's Madonna, is very 90s as well.
Yes, yeah.
So Dan, what's the lesson that you take out of this episode?
My lesson here is accept what's in front of you. One, Matt is offered the money and his job. He should accept. Joe needs to accept Jake. He's right in front of her. Billy needs to accept that his tooth needs to come out and he needs to get with Allison. That's right in front of her. And Jane, of course, just accepts what's in front of her. This job, a new job opportunity.
What I take away from this episode is if you call your boss an egomaniacal bitch, you are basically praised and told to have lunch on a private rooftop.
So everyone go do that to your boss.
Yeah, see what happens.
If you could rename this episode, what would it be?
Well, as we all know, episode 16 is entitled The Whole Truth. But I think Deep Dark Secrets is a better fitted title because we have some dark secrets coming out of Joe,
mm-hmm.
and then we have some dark secrets coming out of Billy about his love for Allison. Yeah.
And the dark room.
That's right.
The dark room.
Even layers upon layers.
Mine is more funny and intertwines the two major storylines. Instead of the whole truth, it's the whole tooth.
Good one! I, of course, the obvious with Billy getting his teeth fixed.
Right. Predictions?
Well, I think we said it before. I'll say it again. Allison and Billy are going to hook up.
Yep.
It is going to happen. I'm thinking Jane is going to become a rising star at Kay Beacon's Designs. And I still think that Matt's going to have trouble at the halfway house. He may have his job back, but there could be some other problems lurking around. And Joe's past is going to catch up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she left back in New York, they're going to come a knock in. And I think we've also set up a really great opportunity for a fight or a feud with Michael Mancini.
They're coming for you, Joe. I've got Rhonda doesn't get a new storyline until she's basically out the door. Billy and Allison isn't far away, and Jake's going to screw up with Joe somehow, some way. Got to happen. So now, as we promised, we will read all your reviews, good or bad, and we got two new ones.
Yay!
First one, entitled Woo by McRuby. I just started Melrose Place for the first time after finishing 90210, and I'm so pumped to have found this podcast to follow along with the show. I'm excited to see where the show goes on your commentaries as the show develops. All I hear is how crazy it gets. Thanks, McRuby. That's all we hear, too.
The other one we have gotten is from the Tom and Steve Show. Thank you so much. They write, they are crushing it. Great show. Dan and Jen bounce off each other well as the show moves along the storyline. Listen to it. Take their advice and listen to it too, guys.
Yeah, and listen to their podcast, Tom and Steve Show. I was lucky enough to do an interview with them, I think last Friday or the Friday before that, and yeah, we talk about Melrose Place and the state of podcasting. And our most engaged Twitter followers, Amanda N., we're so happy that we can make your train rides more bearable. I love that you guys are listening and retweeting. And Tommy F., you're a retweet machine. Thank you so much for supporting us and listening and chatting with us through our social medias. So we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. And our email is melrosepod@gmail.com. Let us know if you got anything for us. See ya.
Bye.